Open your Bibles, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. We're thankful for each of you that are in the service tonight, and this is a marvelous Monday night crowd. Amen. I, like Dr. Belcher, am very mindful that there's any number of places you could be on a Monday night, but here you are in the house of God with the people of God getting ready to hear the Word of God. Amen. And so thank you for being in the service. I realize that a good number of you had a quick bite to eat. Others didn't even get a bite to eat. And you came, some right from work, to be here tonight. And we do not take that lightly. So we appreciate you being in the service. My, weren't you blessed by the special music tonight? Amen. I so enjoyed the quartet that sang a moment ago and Dr. Walsh. I never hear Dr. Walsh sing, but what I'm blessed. And tonight, in every sense of the word, we have heard special music in every sense of the word. Dr. Belcher, you travel and preach out. You understand that sometimes we'll be preaching in a place and the moderator or the pastor will say, before Dr. Hamlin comes to preach, we'll have special music. Someone will stand, sing, sit down, and I'll think to myself, I wonder what was special about that. But my, we've heard tonight special music that has set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. It was my hero, Billy Sunday, who said, bad church music. Billy Sunday said, bad church music is as worthless as a glass eye at a keyhole. Billy Sunday said that. And that's about how I feel in regards to bad church music. So we are blessed by the ministry of music tonight. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and I'll begin reading with verse number 19 through verse number 23, where we find the text of the message. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Dr. Belcher, was a number of years ago. In fact, I was just getting on the revival road. I'd just been saved and called to preach, and I went to hear a preacher. I could call his name, I won't. But I went to hear a preacher preach on a Monday night, a fairly well-known preacher. I'll never forget it. He said, I quote, I hate Monday nights. That's what he said. He said, you preach all day Sunday, and then you're back at it again Monday night. And he said, I hate Monday nights, and I always coast on Monday nights. That's what he said. He must have seen my disapproval of that statement. I probably telegraphed my disagreement with that statement, because he followed up by saying, you young preachers will get there, and you'll get to the place where you preach on a Monday night, and you'll coast too. Well, when he said that, I just made that pew an altar, and I said in my heart, Lord, if you ever let me preach anywhere on a Monday night, I promise you I'll preach harder on Monday night than I did Sunday morning or Sunday night. Amen. Now, aren't you glad you came tonight? Amen. Now, I have to admit that I was a little bit tired. And when Dr. and Mrs. Belcher picked me up at the motel room just a few moments ago, and they'll recall this, I asked them to stop at a gas station. They'll recall this. And I ran in and I got an energy drink. On the way to church tonight, I got an energy drink. It was called Let It Rip. And I drank every drop. And right about now, I don't give a rip. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, beginning with verse number 19 through verse number 23. And if you're watching by way of internet, thank you so much for tuning in. We want you to like the video. We want you to share the video. And for those of you that are watching online right now, if you send us $5, we'll send you a vial of holy water. Oh, I've always wanted to do that. God wasn't in that, but it was hilarious. It really was. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, beginning with verse number 19 through verse number 23. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Please look back with me at verse number 21. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and verse number 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Little phrase in this verse that right recently caught and captured my attention, and I'm praying would do the same for you tonight, is that phrase, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Do you see it?
Yes.
There it is. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, the hounds of heaven. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. God has special and supernatural hunting dogs that he uses to track, both by scent and sight, hell-deserving sinners. A believer may not have had it cross their brain, but there are certain blessings that played a part to them being brought to Calvary. When a person understands the back story, they often have a more unique perspective on Bible salvation. The hounds of heaven. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, we find a peek. Yes, a peek behind the door of death for both the unsaved man and the saved man alike. Now this chapter, Luke chapter 16, could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. The rich man and the steward, verses 1 through 18. And the rich man and the street beggar, verses 19 through 31. It is well the physician Luke is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the rich man and the street beggar that a person sees and often miss, Dr. Belcher, detail of the comfort and care of the canines. Verse 21, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. When preparing this message, I began to think about the dogs that are in the Bible. In the Word of God, in the Scripture, we find mention of dogs. In fact, I went ahead and lined out a list of the dogs that are in the Bible. Why, we find in the Bible humble dogs, 2 Samuel 9:8. In the Bible, we find horribly dumb dogs, Isaiah 56:10. In the Bible, we find hungry dogs, Matthew 15:27. In the Bible, we find hellish dogs, Philippians 3:2. And in the Bible, we find what I call, in our text, heaven's dogs, Luke 16:21. One student of the scriptures once said about our text, the poor fellow, being Lazarus, was so helpless that even the dogs bothered him. Sidebar, I disagree, for I personally believe that they blessed him and that a robust rebuttal could be made that here is the birthplace of the saying, a dog, man's best friend. The sister verse of Luke 16:21 is 1 Corinthians 1:28, and base, which is lowly, things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Never forget, there are saints sitting all around this sanctuary, on the main floor and on the balcony as well, that could stand and say, it was the howling and hounding of some despised by the world hound that hung onto my heels all the way to that hill called Calvary. Now, if you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating. There are those saints sitting all around this sanctuary that could stand and say, it was the howling and hounding of some despised by the world hound that hung onto my heels all the way to that hill called Calvary. Friend, you and I, both the unsaved and the saved, need to recognize the hounds that heaven will use to reach a heart. You see, there are hounds that do the business. There are hounds that do the bidding of the Heavenly Father. And quickly tonight, let's notice five of those hounds that do the business of God, and they're seeing people saved. The hounds of heaven. Number one, a paper witness. John 19:19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. A dog that does the Heavenly Father's direction in delivering sinners from hell is a paper witness. In John 19:19, the Apostle John tells us that it was Pilate, the fifth Roman governor of the province of Judea, who had the title placed on the cross and put over the head of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. A person must understand that it was the case of capital execution to put a tablet with the offense for which the condemned suffered. This tablet being placed in full view of all who witnessed the execution. Sometimes, Dr. Walsh, it was carried by the condemned, being hung around his neck in that day and district. It was a metal plate having black letters on, homai, a white background. The inscription was in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. John 19:20. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once said about this inspired incident, notice, the Holy Spirit placed the Hebrew language first. He went on to say, this was the language of the Jews, the language of the religion in that day. He went on to say Greek, was the language of science, philosophy, and culture. It was used by the learned people. Latin was the language of law, the language used by the Romans. Then Oliver B. Green said, Therefore, all who gathered around the cross of Jesus could read Pilate's inscription in their own tongue. And in the realm of religion, science, and law, Christ was and still is King. If a person will keep all that in their mind and fast forward from then till now, well, the Christian, Dr. Belcher, and the church doesn't pass out metal plates. We most certainly pass out gospel tracts daily, which do the very same thing that the grandfather of tracts did, and that's getting a sinner to the Savior. Oh, if that converted thief was in the service right now, he'd say amen, amen, and amen. There is a hound that does the bidding. There is a hound that does the business of the Heavenly Father in delivering sinners from hell. And it is a paper witness. Why, do you realize that one gospel tract, just one, can there circle the globe and be instrumental in 1,000 people's names going in to the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, there's a hound that does the business. There is a hound that does the bidding of the Heavenly Father, and it is a paper witness. A preacher in England asked a dying Christian woman where she found the Savior. And she gave him a piece of paper torn from an American journal containing part of one of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermons. The scrap had been wrapped around a package that came to her from Australia. The words of Spurgeon were read by her and were the means of leading her to Christ. Commenting on this, the preacher said, "Think of it, a sermon preached in England, printed in America, in some way coming to Australia, a part of it used as wrapping paper there, coming back to England, roughly 23,000 plus miles, was the means of converting this woman." Hey, Christian, I don't know how that affects you, but I think what I'll do is before today turns in to tomorrow, I'll pass out one more gospel tract. I'll pass out one more gospel tract. Before today turns into tomorrow, I'll pass out one more gospel tract, because a paper witness is a hound of heaven. Number two, a prayer warrior. 1 Samuel 1:20, "And called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord." A dog that does the Heavenly Father's direction in delivering sinners from hell is a prayer warrior. In 1 Samuel 1:20, the prophet Samuel tells us that Hannah's barrenness was wrapped in a prayer of brokenness, which puts into her arms, oh my, a bouncing baby boy. His name, Samuel, means a heard of God. Friend, you and I, can they recognize or need to recognize a hound that heaven will use to reach a heart is a prayer warrior. Sidebar, after hearing me preach this message for the first time back in 2019 at the Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, my brother-in-law, Scott Reese, who's in heaven, he's with the Lord tonight, said to me after the service, "John, I know exactly what kind of dog that prayer warrior is." I said, "What kind, Scott?" He said, "A bloodhound. Because since that's a mother from her knees, her prayers will always track you down." Oh, there is a hound that does the bidding. There is a hound that does the business of the Heavenly Father in keeping sinners from going to hell, and it is a prayer warrior. In February of that same year, 2019, on a Thursday morning, I was to fly from Chicago to Lexington through Detroit. But because of fog, ice, and snow, my flight was not delayed, but totally canceled. When the ticket agent made the announcement without even thinking about it. I just said out loud, Brother Levi Haynes, well, it looks like I'm not preaching tonight in Lexington. The young lady seated next to me said, I knew it. I knew it. She said, I knew it. You're a preacher. I said, well, ma'am, how did you know I was a preacher? She said, because as they've been delaying our flight and delaying our flight and delaying our flight and finally canceling our flight, everybody's been mad. Everybody's been upset. There have been some people that have been cussing. She said, but you've been calm, cool, and collected. I thought to myself, on the outside. On the outside. And I've got to tell you, seriously, it never bothers me to hear those kind of announcements at the gate. It never bothers me to be waiting for a flight and to find out there comes the announcement that we're having an equipment problem. That never bothers me at the gate. I've got to tell you, that's where I want to hear that announcement. I want to hear it at the gate. I don't want to hear that in my plane seat, up in the air. No. I don't want to hear that then. I want to hear it at the gate. I reached in my pocket and I pulled out of my pocket what every Christian should carry on their person all the time. That is a gospel tract. And I gave that young lady, her name is Rachel, I gave Rachel a gospel tract. And I said, Rachel, when you get a chance, here's some good news from the Bible. I said, everybody can use some good news. Let me give you something to read. And she thanked me. And I don't know, Dr. Walsh, it might have been 7 or 9 minutes. She nudged me. And she said, my mother said to tell you hello and that you are her and my dad's favorite evangelist. I said, well, how's that? And she said, well, I took a picture of that tract that you gave me on my phone. And I sent it to my mother. And she just texted me back and said, you're seated next to Dr. Hamlin at the Chicago Midway Airport. Your dad and I, we go to hear him preach when he's in our area. He's our favorite evangelist. Please tell Dr. Hamlin we said hello. Which I commented, isn't it a small world? Well, she was going, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, to Houston for a job interview. And I was trying to get to Lexington, and I finally did get to Lexington, but I didn't get to Lexington in time to preach that Thursday night. I got to Lexington about 12:45 Friday morning. I went ahead and preached that morning and then flew back home that afternoon. And that Friday evening, Mrs. Hamlin and I were at home enjoying a quiet Friday evening at the house when an email came, and she said, I think there's something that you need to see in this email. But the email was from Rachel's mother. And it said, Dr. Hamlin, thank you for being so kind to my daughter at the Chicago Midway Airport. You didn't know it, but when you put that gospel tract in her hand, you are an answer to a mother's prayer. We're all planning to be in your service Sunday morning. 3 days later, oh my, and 300 plus miles later, Rachel, her husband, their daughter, her mom, and her dad were all on the second row of the Sheridan Road Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. And after the Bible was preached, the very first person that stepped out, that moved from a pew to an altar to get saved, was Rachel. Oh, I'm here to tell you that there is a hound that does the bidding and does the business of the Heavenly Father, a hound of heaven, and it is a prayer warrior. Amen. Number three, and I know I'm going to get stuck here, a preacher wide open. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A dog that does the Heavenly Father's direction in delivering sinners from hell is a preacher wide open. In John 1:29, the Apostle John tells us that John the Baptist was not only the powerful forerunner of Christ, but also the perfect form of clergy. Friend, you and I need to recognize a hound that heaven will use to reach a heart is a preacher wide open. Now, there are several obvious traits of that preacher that's often seen people saved in his services, seen from the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, it may shock you, stun you, it may surprise you, but first of all, he is heard. John 1:23, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Obvious trait of that preacher that's often seen people saved in his services is he is heard. God has never been interested in blessing preaching that resembles a golf whisper. Let me try that again. God's never been interested in blessing preaching that sounds like a golf whisper. I'm of the conviction that folks on the back row deserve to hear the sermon. Don't bow your head. We're nowhere near closing in prayer time. People on the back row are just as deserving in hearing the sermon as people on the front row. Man, listen, if anything America needs, it's old-fashioned, red-hot, spirit-filled Bible preaching. God deliver us from sharers. God deliver us from talkers. God deliver us from these preachers that, I'm so happy to be here. I'm just going to preach the Bible. I don't want to make you mad. Hey, if you got something to say, turn it up and knock off the knob while you're saying it. I like the kind of preaching that resembles a cheap lawnmower. Loud, smoking, and stuck on wide open. That's the kind of preaching I like. And I believe that's the kind of preacher that John the Baptist was. We got in this hour some Joel Osteen wannabes that are trying to hijack our fundamental movement. We have in this hour some Rick Warren wannabes that are trying to hijack our fundamental movement. We have in this hour, dare I say it, you know I dare, some Richard Simmons wannabes that are trying to hijack our fundamental movement. And if there ever was an hour, if there ever was a minute, if there ever was a second, if there ever was a time that we got to get back to wide open preaching, it's tonight. Dr. Belcher, I was in a meeting not too long ago, and a dear lady, great Christian, came to the book table and said, I gotten brand new hearing aids. And she said, I forgot them at the house. And she said, I didn't hear the choir. I didn't hear any of the congregational singing. I didn't hear any of the announcements. I thought to myself, I hope you heard that offering time. She said, I didn't hear the special music. I didn't hear the introduction. She said, new hearing aids. I forgot them at home, and I heard nothing till you got up to preach, and I heard everything. To which I replied, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate it, Mom. You know, a hound that heaven will use is a preacher wide open. And an obvious trait of a preacher that has often seen people saved in his services, listen, he is heard. Secondly, he's humble. John 1:27, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Obvious trait of that preacher that's often seen people saved in his services is he is humble. It's never been about the messenger, but it's all about the master of the message. Now, I've got to say that I've never seen an hour like the hour that we're in where there's so many people who want to tell you how humble they are. Puke. I said puke. I said puke. I've never seen an hour where so many in the work of the Lord are so proud of their humility. And fake humility is still, neighbor, genuine pride. I like what Evangelist Mays Jackson said in my presence once. He said, we're nothing more than zeros with a circle rubbed out. He is humble. Thirdly, he's hardworking. John 1:28, these things were done in Bethphara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. An obvious trait of that preacher that's often seen people saved in his services, seen from the ministry of John the Baptist, he is hard working. Laziness, can I go ahead and preach? Laziness is the modern day bane, the cause of catastrophic decline of the ministry. All that every single person in this service would realize the obvious traits of that preacher that's often seen people saved in his services. He is heard, he is humble, and he's hard working. The 16th president of the United States. You know, like a legitimate one.
Amen.
The 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, may have stated it best when he said, I love to hear a man preach like he's fighting a swarm of bumblebees. Oh, there is a hound that does the business, that does the bidding of the Heavenly Father in reaching people for the Savior. And that hound is a preacher wide open.
Amen.
Number three. Number four. Number eight. Number 82. Number four. Yeah, just wanted to see if you were listening. Number four, a personal worker. John 1:42, and he brought him to Jesus. A dog that does the Heavenly Father's direction in delivering sinners from hell is a personal worker. In John 1:42, the Apostle John tells us that it was Andrew, right after he sits at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, that reaches out to his brother Simon Peter. The six words, He brought him to Jesus, simply sum up the thirst, the task, and the thrill of personal soul winning. My mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr., once said, when you with God working in your life are used to win a soul, you've done a greater work than creating a world or hanging a star in the sky. Friend, you and I need to recognize a hound that heaven will use to reach a heart is a personal worker. You say, now wait a minute, Dr. Hamlin, you're preaching at the Church of the Open Door, which is known literally around the fundamental world for being a soul winning church. Yes, I'm mindful of that, and I commend you tonight for that. But friend, just because you're a member of a church that has a reputation around the fundamental world as being a soul winning church does not mean that you got gospel tracts in your pocket tonight. And it doesn't mean that you personally have a burden for lost souls. And I'm not being harsh, God knows my heart, but even in a great church like this, Brother PJ, there are people that I'm afraid are riding on the coattails of others when it comes to soul winning. Oh, there's a hound that does the business of the Heavenly Father, and that hound that does the business of the Heavenly Father is a personal worker. Let me just say in passing, if your theology has a problem with the gospel tract, your theology has got problems. A personal worker. Now, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But if we had a tract check tonight, I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't embarrass you. I'm not wired that way. I wouldn't embarrass you. But if we had a track check tonight. I wonder who'd get caught with that one. I reached in my pocket a moment ago, Dr. Belcher, and I hit a pack of cigarettes. I did. Brother Young asked me to hold his while he was singing tonight. Oh, yeah. But if we had a track check tonight, I wonder who'd get caught without a track. Brother Haynes, I tell young preachers all the time, before you work on getting that handkerchief in the outside coat pocket that looks really nice, impress me by having gospel tracts in the inside of your coat pocket. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. In fact, this is such good preaching. I can't wait to get back to the motel tonight and get that Gideon Bible next to the nightstand and sign it two or three times before I go to bed. This is such good preaching. I've signed them all across America. Friend, you and I need to recognize a hound that heaven will use to reach a heart is a personal worker. Dr. James Norton was a missionary legend. He was mentored by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and spent, as you know, Dr. Belcher, many decades in Japan. One year at the National Sword of the Lord Conference, it would have been 2004, he told me that he took a Greyhound bus, oh my, from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to Walkertown, North Carolina. Yes, I said a bus, so he could witness to lost people. Now, if you've ever taken a bus more than 50 miles, you will vow to God that you'll take a skateboard before you ever take a bus anywhere. And he told me, if I'm lying, I'm frying. He told me that he had taken a bus from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan all the way to Walkertown, North Carolina, so that he could witness to people. He reported that he distributed over 500 gospel tracts, witnessed to 379 people, and led 33 precious souls to Christ. Dr. Jim Norton is now in heaven, and you've got to believe that he's enjoying some very special hound dog status there. Amen. A personal worker. Amen. Would you look at our text? Luke 16:21. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Those are the hounds of heaven. A paper witness. A prayer warrior. A preacher wide open. A personal worker. And then number five and last of all, and I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. Like Rosie O'Donnell in a beauty contest. I'm out. A pressing whisper. Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. A dog that does the Heavenly Father's direction in delivering sinners from hell is a pressing whisper. In Acts 2:14, the Apostle Luke tells us that immediately after the upper room prayer gathering, there's an open air preaching meeting, and 3,000 people experience the free and forever pardon of sin. Three phrases a person must not miss from this episode. Lifted up his voice, Acts 2:14. Now when they heard this, Acts 2:37, and then they that gladly received his word were baptized, Acts 2:41. D.L. Moody said Pentecost was a specimen day for all the age. But a person must not miss that behind all the praying, preaching, and personal praising was the third person of the Trinity that was quietly and earnestly speaking to sinners' hearts and saying, amen. Friend, you and I need to recognize a hound that heaven will use to reach a heart is a pressing whisper. When testimony time is called around the throne of God, in heaven all of God's children will learn of 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 of the things the Holy Ghost used to see them saved. And I call that a pressing whisper. You recall the first time you ever saw a gospel tract. Maybe you were at work. Maybe you're at a bus stop. Maybe you're in a store. Maybe, I don't know, you just found a gospel tract somewhere. And you remember the first time that you saw a gospel tract and you picked it up. And just as soon as you read that first half sentence, you knew it was a gospel tract and you tried to get rid of it. You remember that? And it was like it was baptized in crazy glue and you had Gorilla Glue on your fingers and you couldn't get rid. You couldn't get rid. You couldn't get rid of that gospel tract. Finally, you got rid of it. And you closed your eyes that night to go to sleep. And it was like that half sentence of that gospel tract was tattooed to the inside of your eyelids. Because when you closed your eyes, you could see it. And something, you'd later learn it was someone, Dr. Belcher. Something on the inside said, you need that. You need that. You're going to hell. You need that. You know what that was? A pressing whisper. You remember that night you came home late? I mean late. I'm talking late, 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 late. In fact, you didn't miss the first curfew. You missed five curfews. Don't act like you're visitors from heaven. You know what I'm talking about. You didn't make your entrance into this world by being parachuted out of glory. Remember that night? You missed five curfews. And you tried to sneak down that hall. Because on that hall there was one room where the light was on and it was coming out from underneath the crack of the door. And you tried the best you could to sneak by that room. And you went down that hall after missing five curfews. And it seemed like boards that never creaked that morning and sound like a marching band. You tried to sneak by that door where the light was coming from underneath the crack. And as you got about even with that door, you heard a familiar voice on the other side. And they weren't talking to you. They were talking to God. And they were saying, Jesus, save my boy. Jesus, save my girl. Jesus, I don't want him to die and go to hell. And about that time, something you later learned with someone, something in your heart said, when are you going to get saved? Why are you breaking their heart? Why do you keep messing up? Why are you breaking not only their heart, but the heart of God? And man, you remember that as if it was 2 minutes ago. A pressing whisper. You remember that time you came to a fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, premillennial, missionary-minded, soul-winning, temperamental Baptist church. And the preacher got up and he preached. I said he preached. It wasn't ladies' Bible study. He preached. And you'd never heard anything like that in your life. And you were on the back row. And you thought that when that preacher reached his finger out, you thought it was before the coronavirus, but it seemed like his finger was so long that on the back row, you could have had the coronavirus test. And it was like somebody had told him all about you. And you couldn't wait to get out of that service. And you left like a scalded dog. But before you ever got out of the parking lot, something on the inside, you'd later learn it was someone said that preacher told you the truth. He gave you the unvarnished truth. You're going to hell on a bullet train, sitting on the front seat. You need to get saved. A pressing whisper. Remember the first time that somebody knocked on your door? And being very transparent, you thought they were Jehovah's Witnesses. But real quick you learned they were too polite to be Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, probably if you'd asked them, they'd have decorated your Christmas tree. If you'd asked them and it was your birthday, they would have had birthday cake and sang happy birthday to you. They would have posed for a picture, Brother Levi. They'd even sang the Star Spangled Banner, so they couldn't have been Jehovah's Witnesses. You'll get that about 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. And you'll wish at 3 a.m. you said amen. At 8:10 p.m. But you remember how terse you were and short, and yes, even rude. But they didn't respond the same way. And you basically ran them off. And before they could get off the porch, get off the driveway, and on the sidewalk, something, and you'd later learn it was someone, said in your heart, you need what they have. They have a peace that you know nothing about. You need what they have. Brother Young, pressing whisper. Now watch this big statement, big statement, big statement. Watch this. If you're saved tonight, watch this. It was a paper witness. It was a prayer warrior. It was a preacher wide open. It was a personal worker that a pressing whisper used to see you saved. I'm so glad, Dr. Belcher, that every time we meet, somebody's meeting with us. I'm so glad every time I give somebody a gospel tract, there's a third person involved. I'm glad that every time, third person of the Trinity, I'm glad that every time we're having a prayer meeting and we're talking to God. And hey, I'm glad that when it seems like we're absolutely failing and we're getting nowhere, I'm glad that behind it all, there is a pressing whisper that's working when we don't even realize He's working. I'm closing with this. Once a man said, I quote, though I say so young, I remember a long series of incidents through which God spoke to my heart and convicted me of my sins. I remember the Sunday school lesson when we learned about the baby Jesus being born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. When I was not more than 5, this man said, I was deeply moved by the song my mother sang, turned away from the beautiful gate. I seem to have known that it was by their own sinful rebellion and rejection of Christ that men miss heaven. About the same time, my mother, after I told her a lie, talked to me with tears of how God hated a lie. The occasion was burned on my memory. I felt I deserved, this man said, the just condemnation of God. Surely that was God speaking to me through His Holy Spirit. When my mother lay on her deathbed, she talked so of the Savior as she had all of us promised to meet her in heaven. After mother's death, I remember the tears and the exhortations of my Sunday school teacher. The man then said, I remember the godly pastor who told the story of the prodigal son. This would have been Reverend A.B. Ingram, how he ran away from home and came to one in trouble, and how he was forgiven on his return. How strange, this man said, but it seems that God must have been calling from the first day I knew anything about good and bad. From the first time I ever had any sense of moral responsibility to God. By the way, the name of that 9-year-old boy that was saved that Sunday morning at the First Baptist Church in Gainesville, Texas, was John R. Rice. A pressing whisper. Would you look at our text, Luke 16, 21. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Man, I want to be a dog. I want to be a hound. I want to be a dog that God can use to see sinners delivered from hell. How about you? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The hounds of heaven. I'm preaching to some folks tonight that there are people that will not let you talk to them about God. And you've been a little bit discouraged. You've been a little bit down. And though you would never do it, when you come to their name on your prayer list, you would never be so bold, so brazen as to draw a line through their name. But today, when you had your prayer time, thank you, sir. When you came to their name, you halted, you hesitated. Because it's gotten to the place where they won't let you talk to them about God. But I'm happy to report to you that while there are some, and I know them as well, that will never let me, Dr. Belcher, talk to them about God, they can't keep me from talking to God about them. And God has a way of using a prayer warrior to see sinners saved. I wonder if every head bowed and every eye closed could lift their hand and say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved." One of those hounds that you preached on, God used to see me saved. And I can raise my hand as high as I can get it in testimony of the fact that I know that I'm saved. You'd lift your hand and leave it all over the house, all over the house, all over the house, saved and sure, saved and sure, saved and sure. Thank you. May I put them down. If you're here tonight, you're one and you couldn't raise your hand, but you would lift it now. And by raising it, you're saying, "I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ." Main floor, balcony, doesn't matter. You'd lift your hand and say, "I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ." You lift your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. You're here tonight, and as a Christian, somewhere along the message, God spoke to you. And you'd say, "Preacher, I want to be one of those hounds. I want to be one of those hounds that heaven uses in delivering sinners from a devil's hell." And you lift your hand right now. Main floor, balcony. Balcony, main floor. "Preacher, I want to be a hound. I want to be a hound." We stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kind attention of these, my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that not one in any way would grieve, resist, or quench the Holy Ghost. May this be a time of great and glorious victory. In Jesus' name.